Many three strikes prisoners are getting a second chance in California since the passage of Prop 36. Back in November, 69% of Californians voted yes on the proposition to change the three strikes law, which was enacted in 1994. It sentenced offenders with three or more felony convictions to 25 years to life in prison, and comparatively minor crimes could qualify as that third strike. Prop 36 changed that. The third offense would have to be serious or violent. About 10,000 Californians are imprisoned on three strikes convictions, and an estimated 3,000 could qualify for release under Prop 36. The cost of implementing the changes is projected to be a few million dollars over a couple of years, while the projected savings of housing fewer inmates is up to $70 million annually. One of the groups that supports Prop 36 is the Stanford Three Strikes Project, which also represents prisoners currently imprisoned under the law. KALW's Ben Trefney sat down with Susan Champion, a fellow at the Three Strikes Project at Stanford University. He asked her to tell him about some of the crimes that have landed people in prison for life.
One guy who we are still working on, he stole a $2.50 pair of socks and got a life sentence. Another of our clients had possession of 0.03 grams of methamphetamine, basically a little plastic baggie with residue in it. So, and this is not uncommon. I mean, there were so many people serving these sentences for things that minor. My very first client had only two prior felonies. One was taking his mom's VCR. The second was going into a home during the day, sort of breaking in through a screen and taking whatever he could fit in his backpack. And then he was picked up by the cops waiting for the bus. So those were his two prior felonies, his only felonies on his record. His third strike was taking a box of beer steins from a commercial storage facility. I mean, these were common, and particularly in the first days of the law. I mean, I think mind-boggling. I think a lot of people I know, a lot of the families of people that I know that were in prison for these minor crimes said, well, I voted for the three strikes law because I thought that it was going to, you know, take these horrible criminals off the street. I didn't realize it was going to take my son who has a drug problem, who had a couple felonies in the 80s and, you know, is now being given a life sentence for something as minor as, you know, taking a jack out of an empty garage, you know.
Now, I understand that when the three strikes law passed in 1994, the crime rate in California dropped by 26.9%. So it had some kind of impact, at least statistically.
Well, I mean, there's correlation and causation, right? This kind of drop in crime rate is actually nationwide and happened in states that didn't have these recidivist sentencing schemes. What California experienced in its crime rate is mirrored through every state. And in some states, it's even more drastic a decline. I think New York might be one of those states.
What was happening at that time across the country?
Nobody knows. There are lots of theories about that. One of the leading theories right now has to do with lead paint and sort of people reaching a particular peak criminality age at a point right before lead paint was removed from unleaded gasoline, et cetera, like that's one theory. Nobody really knows exactly why. There are a number of obvious possibilities. You know, it could be that the economy improved. It could be the war on drugs. I mean, who knows? Nobody really knows why. But there was a similar drop mirrored in every state, not just California.
Well, now that the three strikes law is changing because of Prop 36, if people look back to then when, whether it's related or not, there had been more than 0.25% in the overall crime rate, then they would be concerned about public safety, I would think. Those people who are like, well, you know, if somebody's a recidivist, then we have to be careful about them.
And I think, yeah, and I think that that's absolutely true. I think what Prop 36, though, did was it made California much more in line with other states that do have three strikes laws. In other states, there is not another state in this union that would put someone in prison for life for taking a candy bar. I mean, it just wouldn't happen. And that, I think, was what people recognized in California. They recognized that it's just unjust.
That's Susan Champion. She's a fellow at the Three Strikes Project at Stanford University. For some of the three strikes prisoners who are being released, some are doing so without being put on parole, without monitoring. Why is that, and what do you see as the potential consequence of that?
The reason that a lot of the people that are getting relief retroactively under Prop 36 come out without being on any kind of supervision is that they've already served double their term plus any enhancements that would be required for prison priors plus any parole term, right, any three-year parole term or any parole term that would have been imposed for that crime. So they've already served all possible time plus any parole time. There's something called under AB 109 or realignment called post-release community supervision or PRCS. And that's basically having to check in with some sort of correctional officer, and you're then also subject to many of the conditions that are attached to probation or parole. These post-release supervision programs frequently serve to allow warrantless searches, to allow people to sort of commit quote-unquote technical violations of their parole. For example, they can't leave the county without getting permission. All of these things can actually increase their chances of being sent back into the correctional system for things that are not necessarily crimes, right? So that's the downside to post-release supervision. The upside, however, is that in many cases, you have more access to services and there's more money for services if you come out under some sort of supervision. It varies by county, not only whether or not a judge will try to impose some kind of post-release supervision on you, but also whether that county even has any services. County by county is very spotty. In some counties, post-release supervision means you actually have access to some meaningful help. In other counties, it just means you're basically much more vulnerable to getting caught back up in the system.
So in your position as a fellow at the Three Strikes Project, you study this, spend more time with it than almost anybody else. What do you think is the most important thing for people to know about Three Strikes and the implementation of Prop 36?
So I think there are a couple of things that are key, at least for us. One, we think that having some sort of structured, organized network of reentry organizations there to support people that are coming out is going to be key and very low cost comparatively to the cost of, you know, the potential for either recidivism or for the cost of having people come out and have no place to go. I think it's also important that people know that getting resentenced under Prop 36 is not as it's not an automatic thing, that, you know, this is a process, that there are some legal questions that are still being worked out and hashed out through the courts, and that, you know, if you are someone or if you have a loved one who is eligible under Prop 36, that it's really important to take the time to do this right. We don't know if you have an opportunity to come back and try it again. This may be your only shot. So before you, we understand everyone is desperate to get out, and we want to make sure that everyone has the best possible chance at getting out. And the way to do that is to do it right the first time.